I want to wish everybody a good morning as we come back for our second session on Adventism 201. Amen. All right. And we're going to give you some theory, and by the grace of God, if Lord willing, we can do a little practice run on how to systematically understand the doctrines of the Bible. Now, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we get into the word. Father in heaven, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in early and latter rain power. Give us your grace, give us your strength, and your wisdom. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, First Peter, the third chapter, and we're going to focus in on one verse of this book, of this chapter. First Peter, the third chapter, and when you get there, let me hear you say amen. All right. I still hear some pages turning, so we'll give you another minute. First Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse, I still hear pages turning, that's good. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God where? The very first important thing in studying the Bible is making sure that we're in an attitude and in a condition where God can sanctify our hearts, where God is set apart to where our will is completely submerged in his will to what we can do his will when we read the word. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready, how long? And be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask of you a reason of the hope that is where? With meekness and fear. Which means that as born-again Christians, as disciples of Christ, we should be able to give an answer of what we believe, and not just what we believe, but why we believe it from the Bible. Are you with me? So therefore, we need to know how to study the Bible. Now, on yesterday, we talked about the Bible as a whole. We dealt with these different periods of the Bible. We dealt with the overall message of the Bible. We dealt with what Ellen G. White talked about in terms of gaining the knowledge of the grand central theme of the Bible. Also about God's original purpose for the creation of the world, the rise of the great controversy, and the work of redemption. And we also learned about how we should understand the two principles that are contending for the supremacy, the principles of rebellion versus love. Are you with me? And how that every act of life, Ellen White says, reveals which one of the two antagonistic motives control us and is leading us. And when we understand that, we can gain a general knowledge of the message of the Bible. So yesterday's workshop was dealing with when you're reading your Bible through from Genesis to Revelation, okay? When you're doing your yearly Bible reading or when you're reading different books of the Bible, what we talked about yesterday will help you to understand the Bible that way. Now, Adventism, it says 101, but it's really 201. Adventism 201 is the part where God really blessed me over 20 years ago. And what we want to talk about today is how to systematically understand the doctrines of the Bible. Do you understand this right here? The Bible not only does the Bible have a message, but the Bible has doctrinal teachings in it that God would like to have us to know. So let's look at the key point here. Now, the Spirit of Prophecy goes on to say in the book of Education, page 190, that in daily what? Study. The verse-by-verse method is often the most what? Helpful. Now, when she says the verse-by-verse method, what she's referring to is a text in the book of Isaiah 29, verse 10 and 13, where the Bible says that line must be upon what? Precept upon what? Here a little and there what? A little. Now, did Jesus Christ use this method of biblical interpretation when it came to explaining the doctrine about who Jesus was and who the Christ would be? Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse, watch this right here, Luke 24 and verse 27. Now, let's look at verse 25. Then we'll go into verse 27. Did Jesus Christ use the verse-by-verse method as outlined by the prophet of the Lord? We're going to show you from the Bible that he most assuredly did. Now, one thing you must understand, that you cannot build a doctrine on one text. Are you with me? Now, you can use a foundational text. What kind of text? A foundational text that brings out the thought that you're trying to bring. But what happens simply is this right here. Just as a house needs a foundation, what happens is your foundational text gives the foundational idea of the topic that you want to study about or present to someone, but brick by brick, scripture by scripture, you build the house. Do you understand what we're talking about? So what happens is simply is this right here. In every study, every time you want to study about a topic of the Bible or a doctrine, what happens is the first thing you should do is find a foundational text to start with, and from that point, build on that with other scriptures. Now, the Bible says in the book of Luke 24 and verse 25, then he said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe that all which the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and not enter into his glory? And in Luke 24, 27 says, Jesus said, and beginning where? At Moses. When we talk about Moses, we're talking about beginning with the first five books of the Bible. Beginning at Moses and all the what? He expounded unto them in all the what? The things concerning what? Himself. So what happened was, in order to prove that he was who he was, he began at the beginning and he built up all the way throughout the prophets. And all the scriptures where it referred to the Messiah or Shiloh or the Lamb, he showed them systematically how he was the Christ. Are you with me? And they were convinced. So what happens is simply is this right here. We as God's people that are studying the Bible in these last days, we should be able to systematically show what we believe and why we believe it, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the things concerning that doctrine. Are you with me? And let me tell you, this is my favorite type of study. It's called systematic theology. What kind of theology? Systematic theology. The word theology, don't get confused on that word. The word theology simply means the study of God and his word. Are you with me? So systematic theology is a systematic study of God and his what? Word. Which systematic theology is nothing more than the study of what kind of doctrines? Bible doctrines. So what happens when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying doctrinal topics, what happens to a man after they die? Which day is the Sabbath? Or what should we eat or drink? Or what should we do? What happens is when you study the Bible from that standpoint, you are practicing systematic what? The study of Bible doctrines. Now, systematic theology is divided into seven categories. How many categories? And it's interesting that systematic theology is divided into seven categories because seven is a complete number. Are you with me? So when we're studying the Bible systematically, we're studying a complete system of truth. What kind of truth? A complete system of truth. And when you study the Bible this way, it makes the Bible doctrines easy to understand. The first category of systematic theology when you study the Bible is called what? The study of what? God and his word. The second type of theology is called Christology, which is the study of who? Christ. The third type of theology is called pneuma what? Come on, say that word. Pneumatology, which is the study of the holy what? Because the word pneuma in the Greek means spirit. Are you with me? So pneumatology is the study of the holy what? Spirit. The fourth one is called anthropology, which is the study of the nature of who? Man. The fifth type of theology and systematic theology is called ecclesiology, which is the study of the what? Church, because the word church comes from a Greek word ekklesia. Are you with me? So it's the root word. And the next one is called soteriology, which is the study of salvation. And the last one, which is my favorite, is eschatology, which is the study of last day events. When you put all these seven ologies together, you have what's called a complete system of systematic theology, topical doctrinal Bible study. Now, what happens is simply is this right here. Now, out of these seven ologies, which one do you think is your favorite? The study of Christ. Anybody else? Soteriology. Study of salvation. Okay, anybody else? What ology do you like? Eschatology. That's right. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, what happens is simply is this right here. There may be something here on the seven branches of systematic theology that may be of interest to you, but let me tell you, they all go hand in hand. Amen? And so what happens is simply is this right here. I believe through a proper understanding of eschatology, you can understand all the theologies in one ology. Are you with me? That's all. Let me say it one more time. I believe that from my study of eschatology, that it will help you to understand all the other ologies altogether. Do you understand this? So you cannot neglect one without the other. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. As you notice, it's all really in order. Because without God, you don't have Jesus. Are you with me? Without Jesus, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And then we studied the nature of man, that man was created as a immortal being at first, but when man sinned, he became mortal. Are you with me? He became subject unto death. Am I right or wrong? So we need to understand what happens to a person when they die. When we understand anthropology, we understand biblically that the anthropological teaching of the Bible teaches us that man does not go to heaven or hell immediately at death. Are you with me? Are you with me? When we understand the study of the Holy Spirit, we can understand that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Are you with me? And when we understand the Christology, we should see Christ throughout all the Bible. Amen. We should know who he was. We should know why he came on this earth. We should understand the human nature which he took when he came on this earth. Are you with me? That he took the nature of Adam after the fall. Are you with me? But yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit that kept him from sinning. Are you with me? Showing us practically that mankind under the control of the Spirit of God can live a life without sin. What do you say out there? But when you study about God and his word, let me tell you this right here. It will bring all these things together. The study of the church. When you study how the church should be functioning, who should be deacons, who should be elders. Are you with me? Systematic theology will leave us without a clue. It should leave us without a doubt who should be leading the church. Are you with me? So therefore, it should settle the issue of women's ordination. Are you with me? If you study ecclesiology, right, and other things. Soteriology, the study of salvation. When we understand it biblically, we understand that we are saved by grace through what? And we're saved from three things: the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. Are you with me? And that we do not believe in a doctrine called one saved, always what? Saved. And lastly, eschatology, when we study it the right way, we will know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. Amen? All these things are important. Doctrines are extremely important. Are you with me? We cannot separate doctrine from Jesus. Are you with me? What happens is this right here. When we study a doctrine, we got to study it always in the light of Christ. Amen? How does this relate to Christ, number one, and how this relates to you? When you study it those two ways, it brings the doctrines to life in your life. Amen? Oh, I wish I had time to talk about this, but let's go on. So what happens is in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have accepted 28 fundamental what? Beliefs, which compass all seven ologies. Now, in the 28 fundamental beliefs, we're going to show you how each fundamental belief of our church, every doctrine that we believe as a church, falls into these seven categories. Number one, if you take theology, the first three, Christology and pneumatology, you have our first doctrine is called the what? Then the second doctrine is called the what? Then you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the what? Holy Spirit. All right, those are the first five doctrines of our church that cover these three ologies. Now, anthropology, we have two things, and right now, anthropology has been an issue in our church, brothers and sisters, about creation. Did creation take place 6,000 years ago? Yes, it did. From the time that Adam was created to Christ was 4,000 years. Are you with me? And from Christ to now is about 2,000 years. So that means that Earth's history is only 6,000 years old. Do you understand this right here? Creation shows us that we were not made from a monkey. Are you with me? Amen. But watch this right here. In the beginning, the word, the Bible said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens what? Made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. When you understand the correct understanding of the word of God, that God's word has created power, when you come to the creation, you know it didn't take man eons of years to be created. Are you with me? And for the creation to be created, everything was created by the word of what? God. So we see how these doctrines in order build its foundation on the next doctrine. Are you with me? So after creation, we understand the nature of who? Man. And then you go into soteriology, where you deal with the great controversy between Christ and Satan, the life, the death, and the resurrection of what? Christ, knowing that Christ lived a sinless life, amen, that he was our substitute and our example, and that he died to take our place, and thank God he rose that Sunday morning for our justification, according to Romans 4, verse 25. So when we understand that right here, then we can have the experience of what? Salvation. And now for those who did not know, in the year 2000, we added another doctrinal belief to our understanding of the Bible doctrines, and it's called growing in what? Christ. Because when you have the experience of salvation, is salvation, is it just a one-time event to where I became saved and that's it? No. What happens is simply is this right here. We are to grow in Christ. The scripture says we become as babes, but we grow to full maturity. Am I right or wrong? So when we understand growing in Christ correctly, we see character perfection. What kind of perfection? Character perfection. The goal of the experience of salvation through the life and death and resurrection of Christ in this great controversy is so we can grow in Christ to character what? Perfection. But character perfection cannot be attained if we do not keep the law of God. Talk to me, somebody. You see how it's all coming together? And so what happens, we see the law of God as a transcript of God's character. Romans 7, verse 12 says that the law is holy, just, and good. So when we obey the law of God, the moral law, not the Mosaic law, but the moral law of how many commandments? 10 commandments, we can grow in Christ. Are you with me? Because we have the experience of what? Come on now. Salvation. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of what? In the light of the great what? Because we understand the true nature of who? And that we were created in his image. Am I right or wrong? And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit had a part in that creation because of the word of what? God. Talk to me, somebody. And when we understand that, we could be subject to the divine government called the Godhead. Are you with me? So when you're studying the Bible systematically, you will see how all these doctrines go hand in hand. But watch this right here. So in the middle of the law of God, you have what's called the what? The Sabbath, and how the Sabbath is still the Lord's day. Amen? Revelation 1 and verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So systematically, you're saying how? It doesn't say Sunday in there, and it doesn't say Sabbath. So how do I know? So systematically, you go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8, where the Bible says how the Son of Man is Lord even of the what day? So systematically, you see that the only day that Jesus said he was Lord of was the what? Sabbath. Talk to me, somebody. But it doesn't answer the question. It says the Sabbath day is the Lord's day, but how do I know that the Sabbath day is Saturday, not Sunday? You go systematically to the resurrection of Christ. Hello. Where he died on good what? And he rose on Easter. And Mark chapter 16 says that he rose on the first day of the week. So that tells me the first day of the week is the day before the Sabbath, because in that same chapter, the Sabbath had ended. Are you with me? So we see that the seven-day Sabbath is still binding, and it's on the seventh day of the week, Saturday, and not Sunday. And then when we understand the true nature of the Sabbath, then we can be good stewards. Are you with me? Of our time. Talk to me, somebody. See, we think of stewardship as money, but stewardship really is about our time. Are you with me? And time, watch this right here. This may be controversial, but time is truly money. Because the scripture says if you are lazy and slothful and love to sleep, you're going to be poor. Talk to me, somebody. So when we understand biblical stewardship, that, watch this right here, our prosperity in spiritual things and temporal things revolves heavily on how we spend our time as stewards. Are you with me? We're stewards over our time, our money, our talents, and our possessions. Are you with me? Our time, money, talent, and what else? Possessions, and also our influence. Talk to me, somebody. So when we understand biblical stewardship like that, it's only going to come because all these things have been experienced in your life. Are you with me? So what happens when we study in systematic theology, when you're studying the Bible theologically, systematically, what happens is God is trying not only to give us knowledge, but to give us wisdom. Are you with me? Which is the application of knowledge. Are you with me? Then when we're good Christian stewards, then our behavior, hello. When we understand that we're stewards of our influence and our time, money, and talents, Our behavior will be in accordance with our stewardship. Are you with me? We won't wear certain things. Are you with me? We won't listen to certain types of music. We won't watch certain things because we're stewards. Are you with me? Talk to me. So our behavior is tied into our what? Because we're keeping the Sabbath, which is a sign of sanctification. Are you with me? Are you with me? Which is in the law of God because we're growing where? To character perfection, because we have experienced the experience of what? Through the life, death, and resurrection of who? In the light of the great what? Controversy, because we understand the true nature of man when we were created in God's what? Image, because we were created by God through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we can be in subjection to the divine government called the Godhead. And the goodness of God he gets authority from? The Word of God. So you see how it's all filling together, fitting together? Then when our behavior is intact, then our marriages will be intact. And our families will be intact. So are you with me? So we understand that if we are truly going to behave like Christians sexually, then we know that marriage has to be between a man and a woman. Therefore, we can reject what's going on in society today. Are you with me? With same-sex marriage, according to the Word of God. And then you study ecclesiology. The what? The church. The word church means called out once. Then you understand the remnant and its what? Mission. Where in Revelation, the Bible describes God's remnant people specifically because they keep all the commandments of who? And have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of what? Prophecy. So therefore, the remnant church must be the Seventh-day Adventist church. Because the remnant church fits the characteristics of what the Bible says the remnant would have. Are you with me? Now, when you understand the remnant and its mission, our mission is to preach the three angels what? And we're going to talk about this at the end of this. So what happens when we understand our mission because of who we are? Hello. Without us knowing, if we don't know who we are, then what is our mission then? Are you with me? Your mission is driven because of who you are. Talk to me, somebody. Because we are a part of the what? Church. Amen? Now, what happens is the remnant must have unity in the what? Body of Christ, but where we should all be speaking the same what? Thing. So what happens is this right here, and if you study this book, it's a book called Fundamentals of SDA Beliefs. It gives scripture there, and it gives you interpretation, and just rightly divide the word of truth. You will systematically form a theology which will root you and ground you in a relationship with Christ and will lead you to have a great relationship with your fellow brother. Are you with me? Now watch this right here. We understand unity in the body of Christ. The Bible says one Lord, one what? And then you'll have one mode of what? Which is by immersion. Now let me give you a little key right here. Now in order to understand certain words, it's often helpful to get a Strong's exhaustive concordance to where it shows you the meaning of certain words. The word baptism in the original language means to immerse. Are you with me? To go under some water. Are you with me? And when you read biblical examples systematically in the New Testament, you will see that the person getting baptized was in the water and that the person who was doing the baptizing was in the what? Therefore, you know, sprinkling is done. It can't be used. Am I right or wrong? Then Jesus says, go into all the world, baptizing them. Are you with me? And preach and teach, right? So therefore, those who understand should get baptized. Am I right or wrong? So therefore, we know infant baptism is out of the picture. Are you with me? So when you're studying systematic theology, when you're studying the Bible systematically, what happens is it's showing you, and I'm going to keep it real. Can I just keep it real today? It's showing you what is right and what is wrong and who is right and who is wrong. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. Now watch this right here. So baptism can take place through a thing called the Lord's what? Supper. Now, we've all been baptized if you're a believer in Jesus. And if not, we can have a baptism maybe here or somewhere else. I don't know. But what happens is this right here. The Lord's Supper, you're partaking of the body and blood of what? Christ. And also washing some what? Feet. Because Jesus is, as oft as ye do this, you show the Lord's death till I what? Come. We've sinned after our baptism, haven't we? But our Lord's Supper is like a mini baptism. Are you with me? So what happens is this right here. Then when we come into, when we do these things, we are in union with one another. Then you have what's called the spiritual gifts and what? Because you've been a partaker of the Lord's what? And you join the body of Christ through what? And because you're a part of the remnant fulfilling is what? Of the church. Because the families are strong through Christian what? Because of your what? And keeping the what? Which is a sign of sanctification, which is found in the law of where? And because you are growing in what? Which is only made possible by growing in what? Because you have the experience of? Through the life, death, and resurrection of whom? In the light of the great what? Because in essence, you are subject to the Godhead, which is subject to the Word. Are you with me? Which comes from the Word. This is good, brothers and sisters. I tell you, God is good. And then you have a specific gift in the, when you study the Bible systematically, you will study about a specific gift that God's given to the remnant church called the gift of what? Prophecy. And you will see how the Bible prophets of old, whether they were canonical and non-canonical, were inspired by the same Holy Spirit. And you will also see in the book of Acts where the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters shall what? And you'll see that God's an equal opportunity employer. Are you with me? When it comes to the spiritual gifts, are you with me? Now watch this right here. So therefore, how does that relate to somebody called Ellen G. White? And what happens when you read the biblical foundation of this gift of prophecy, it will lead you to accept what God did through and wrote through Sister White. Are you with me? And then you'll know that her place is not to take the place of the Bible, but yet her writings serve as a lesser light leading to the what? And when you understand the gift of prophecy correctly, you will understand that the inspiration of her writings is equal to that of Scripture, though her function is different. Are you with me? The function of the Bible is to lead you to Jesus, but the function of her writings is to lead you back to the Bible, which you have neglected. Are you with me? When you read it like that, when you understand the doctrines like that, it will lead you to be a firm, strong Christian. Are you with me? Now watch this right here. And the last one is eschatology. And one of the first doctrines in eschatology really is the foundation of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. Are you with me? Now, John 3:6, Jesus is the foundation of our faith. But Jesus in the ministry, in his ministry in the heavenly where? Now, watch this right here. In theology, we have what's called theological contributions. What kind of contributions? Every denomination on this planet has given some type of theological contribution to Christianity. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church, what makes us unique? Because if you really look at it, doctrinally speaking, we are a conglomeration of all the truths in every denomination. Are you with me? But, somebody say but. But the thing that makes us unique is our understanding of Christ's ministry. Somebody say Christ's ministry. See, people are looking at the atonement and his life on the earth and the atonement he made on the cross, and that's just it. But when you understand Christ's ministry in the heavenly where, and understand that type must meet anti what? Type. Other words, behold the Lamb of what? The Lamb was the type, but the anti-type is Jesus. Are you with me? The earthly temple was the type, but the heavenly sanctuary is the anti what? Type. You must understand when you're reading the Bible systematically, the Bible will show us doctrinally that the tabernacle that Moses made on the earth was symbolic of the tabernacle in heaven, and that the high priest on earth is symbolic of the high priest where? And Hebrews 8 tells us that we have a great high priest who has a more excellent ministry. Hello. That means that what Jesus did on the earth was not all it. Are you with me? That was part of it, but not all of it, to where he's doing an atonement right now in the most holy place. Talk to me, somebody. For the blotting out of transgression. And when you understand that, when he finishes that ministry, then you will have the second coming of what? Christ. So therefore, when he comes back, every eye shall what? See him. Are you with me? And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where? To meet the Lord where? Therefore, we know when Jesus comes, he's not going to touch the what? So therefore, if they shall say unto you, lo, he is in the desert, go not forth. Where's Jerusalem at, brothers and sisters? In the desert. Are you with me? What place? Because Jesus said, in essence, that Satan would counterfeit the second coming of Christ. See, when you study the true, you'll realize the counterfeit. You see how doctrine is very important? Just through what we're talking about right now. When you understand how Jesus is really going to come, then you know that any other way is going to be false. Amen? So therefore, you won't watch that movie called Left Behind. Are you with me? Because you know that their doctrinal understanding of the second coming of Christ is not scriptural. Are you with me? So therefore, you can reject the secret rapture. Are you with me? And you can show your friends what the rapture really is going to be like. It's going to be a literal, personal, visible, and audible second coming. Amen? Now watch this right here. When Jesus Christ comes back, watch this right here. You have a thing called death and what else? What happens to a man after they what? Do men and women go immediately to heaven or hell? Because the scripture says the dead know not what. When you study this doctrine systematically, you will find out through the nature of man that if man was mortal after sin, therefore man is subject unto death. Therefore, when a man dies, the Bible says it's called the sleep of death. So therefore, we are sleeping in the grave. And when you read the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. Well, I thought they was in heaven when they died. No, they are in the ground until the resurrection. Are you with me? Are you with me? So when we understand that, then we can understand the millennium a lot better. Amen? Now, when you're studying the Bible, you're like, what does the word millennium mean? Is the word millennium in the Bible? Now, let me tell you this. When you're studying these doctrines systematically, you will find out there's some terms that we use is not right in the Bible per se in terms of the word, but the concept. Somebody say concept. The word millennium is not, the word millennium you will never find it in no version of the Bible. Are you with me? But what happens, you will find the what? Concept. Are you with me? So what happens simply is this right here. When it comes to the millennium, the word millennium must mean something. So you can go to a concordance or a dictionary. And the dictionary will tell you that millennium means how many years? So you're like, what's going to happen for 1,000 years? And then the Bible will tell you that when Jesus comes back, watch this right here, the dead in Christ are going to resurrect. Am I right or wrong? They're going to be raised with him to live with him where? In heaven for the millennium, because the scripture says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where? That means we're going to be going to heaven when he comes back to the clouds of glory through the resurrection of the dead. You understand this right here? And in the millennium, we're going to spend how many years? 1,000 years judging all those that are left on the earth. Because when you study this doctrine of the millennium, you will find out that the dead will be in the grave. The rest of the dead, the Bible says, lived not again. Now, systematically, reading the Bible, you really got to use your thinking cap. And let me tell you, when you read the Bible systematically and doctrinally, you got to take off denominational glasses when you read it. Are you with me? Amen. All right. Now, you know, we as God's remnant, we know it's the truth. But what happens is simply is this right here. Most people, when they read about the 1,000 years, the rest of, they miss that part where it says, but the rest of the dead live not again. If they're not living, that means they're what? That means they're not alive. Am I right or wrong? And if you read the Bible systematically, it implies that it's those that's going to go to hell. Are you with me? Which means they're not burning right now. Am I right or wrong? So when you study the Bible systematically, what happens is you got to show people, look at this right here. You're missing this part right here. And it says, until the 1,000 years were finished, this is the first resurrection. And then after the millennium, God is going to deal with the end of what? And the Bible says he reveals how he's going to end sin. He's going to end it in a lake of what? And in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible shows not only the millennium, but the end of sin, where the Bible says that the wicked are going to walk on the breath of the where? Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Let me show you something systematically from the Bible. And let me tell you this right here. You got to use your thinking cap when you read the Bible. Are you with me? And what happens is this right here. Babylon, spiritual Babylon. The denominations of spiritual Babylon have adulterated the truths of the Bible to where people have read them with those glasses on and could see these texts and not understand what it means. Are you with me? But what happens is that God's remnant, God's given us illumination from the word to whereby we can know what it means. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at this very carefully about the end of sin. Oh, I wish I had more time. Watch this right here. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9. And they went up on the breath of the where? And compassed the saints about in the beloved what? And fire came down from God out of where? And did what? Now watch this right here. Where does the fire come from? From where? That means it's not underneath the ground. People ain't burning underneath the ground right now. So where's hell going to be at? On earth. Am I right or wrong, right? But notice the scripture says it did what to them? What does the word devoured mean? It means a completed act. You missed that. The word devoured means a completed what? That means when the fire comes, it's going to do its work until they're completely devoured and annihilated. So that means it's not going to be an eternally burning fire in the most literal sense of the word. Are you with me? But somebody says, what about the next verse where it says forever and ever? Hold it now. All you got to do is line upon line, priest upon what? Here a little and there what? For, and you will find out that forever and ever has a unlimited meaning and it has a limited meaning. Are you with me? Am I right or wrong? And you will find out that Jonah was in the belly of that fish for how many days and nights? But Jonah said, I was in the whale's belly forever. So what happens is simply is this right here. Look at verse 14. It says, and death when hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the what death? Uh-oh, the what death? Death is the cessation of life. Therefore, if it's a second death, therefore they cannot burn for eternity. Because if they were burning for eternity, they would not be dead. Am I right or wrong, somebody? So what happened when you're studying this doctrine systematically, you got to do some serious word study because let me tell you this right here. If you don't do it, you'll believe some crazy things. Are you with me? And when you come to the Bible with an open mind to understand the truth, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You're going to find out that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has what's called the present truth for these last days. And then you will find out that it's going to be a new earth. Amen. To where Revelation 21 says the first heaven. Let's look at Revelation 21 and verse 1. Watch this right here. Now, have you seen how all the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that we believe systematically, theologically, all interlap with each other? You see that? And what happens is when you're studying the doctrines, you got to study not just theologically or just to gain knowledge. You got to study this thing from a practical sense. Amen? Oh, I wish I had more time to show you how it really relates to you. But watch this right here. Maybe I have some time, but watch this right here. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Do you have it? Now watch this right here. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 1, and we're going to do an exercise today. Verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a what? You may say, why is there a new heaven and a new earth? Read on. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? And there was no more what? Sea is composed of what? Water. But somewhere I read that the fires of hell is going to dissolve all the elements. Is water an element? Yes. So the fires of hell will destroy all the elements. That's why there's no more sea. That's why there's no more first earth or first heaven. Are you with me? So therefore, God has to recreate the earth all over again on the same planet that just got burned up. Therefore, we know that the fire couldn't burn eternally. Are you with me? And when I found it out 20-something years ago, I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Where is my clicker at? Oh, my, my, my. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. On the floor. All right. So all the doctrines of what we believe are interlap. But watch this right here. We're going to do a biblical exercise today. Amen. I got about 15 minutes left. Watch this right here. We're going to talk about how to understand the Bible, a Bible doctrine using the verse-by-verse method. Can we do that? Can we show you how to do it? And watch this right here. The way you study a doctrine is the way you present the doctrine to somebody else. Are you with me? So not only are you giving yourself a Bible study, you're teaching yourself how to get somebody else a Bible study. So we're doing two in one. Watch this right here. In order to do this, Ellen G. White says, she says that we are as miners digging for truth. Are you with me? And when you're digging for something, you got to use some tools, right? And the word of God is the treasure, but we need some tools in order to dig this truth out. So you need four tools. Number one, the first two, you better get your Bible, amen? Secondly, you can get yourself a good pen, amen? Black or blue or red. I prefer a darker color pen. And then get a highlighter, yellow, green, blue, or pink. Are you with me? Whatever, which one you like. And what happens is, and if necessary, get a Strong's what? And what it will do is, and let me tell you this right here. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is one of the best concordances on the earth. Are you with me? And if you cannot buy one at the store, type it up on Google. They have an online one that will give you the Greek and the Hebrew word and will teach you how to say it. Are you with me? And if I were you, I would learn the Hebrew and Greek alphabet. Are you with me? And the Bibles. Are you with me? So what happens is simply as this. When somebody tries to throw some Greek on you, say, I know what the Greek word is. The Greek word is espaslio or something like that. Are you with me? Like, oh, man, versus diva. You know? You don't want to do it to show off. But the bottom line is this right here. We should have a good knowledge of biblical languages and what words mean. Amen? Am I right or wrong? Watch this right here. So what we're going to do is this. And we're going to close with this at the end. So what we're going to do, we're going to study a doctrine. Can we study a doctrine? We're going to talk about the remnant and its mission. Amen? So what happens is, let's talk about the remnant. Let's look at Revelation 12:17. Revelation 12:17. Now we're going to show you the verse-by-verse method in this verse right here. Now, we're going to have to go real quick on this one because I got about 13 minutes left. Now, one of the best tools for Bible study is from a website called Amazing Facts. I don't know about you, but when I first became a Seventh-day Adventist, I used to go to that ABC bookstore every single day. Are you with me? Bought all of the Bible study materials. It wasn't as beautiful as this one, but let me tell you this right here. I systematically understood the doctrines of the Bible through some Bible study helps. You can go on amazingfacts.org. They have a booth out here, and you can systematically understand all the doctrines of the Bible systematically. And what happened was, is this right here. What I did was, I did what I'm going to show you, and this is what helped me to understand what we believe clearly. Now, let's look at verse 17. And the dragon, who's the dragon, somebody? How do you know? What verse proves that the dragon is the devil? Verse 9 tells you that the dragon is a devil. So the devil was wroth with the who? Woman. Who's the woman symbolic of? And you have some Old Testament scriptures for that. Satan was angry with the church and went to make war with the who? Remnant. Now, when you look at the word remnant, you may have to go to the Greek or the Hebrew, or you may go to a dictionary. It simply means the last piece of the original. So what happens is Satan is making war with the remnant church of the last days. Are you with me? Are you with me? Then there's a special church he's fighting against, which keep the commandments of who? And we know that God had how many commandments? And the fourth one points to the seventh what? Day. So that tells me that the devil's making war on a seven-day church somewhere on this earth. Did I make that up? I got it right from the Bible. I'm extrapolating the meaning from the text. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? And when you go to Revelation 19, it tells you what the testimony of Jesus is. It is the spirit of what? Prophecy. And in chapter 22, it says that those who have the spirit of prophecy are called prophets. Are you with me? That means that the remnant church will be a seven-day Sabbath-keeping denomination that will have the ministry of a prophet going through it. Are you with me? And when you look all throughout the earth, it only points to one denomination, the Seventh-day Adventist church. But what about all the people in other churches? Jesus says, many sheep which I have, which are not of what fold? This remnant fold. Hello. I must go and also bring. Are you with me? How do we bring them? Through the mission of the remnant. Are you with me? And it's found in Revelation 14, verses 6 to 12. Let's look at Revelation 14. And I have a Bible study here in my hand called Angel Messages from Outer Space. This will help you to systematically understand the remnant and its mission. Are you with me? And what you do is that you're going to do some things right here. Now, I need four volunteers. I need a volunteer to read verse 6. I need a volunteer to read verse 7. I'm going to stand up right now. Somebody read verse 6. Read verse 6 and read verse 7. Verse 6, my brother. So the remnant has a mission to preach the everlasting what? Gospel. Read verse 7, my brother.
Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come.
Read on.
Worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water.
Somebody read verse 8 for me, please. Let's read verse 9 together. Read verse 9 since you're standing up. Read verse 9. Verse 10 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of who? Which is poured out without what? Into the cup of his what? And he shall be tormented with fire and what? That's hell fire. In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the what? and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his what? But look at verse 12. Verse 12 will show you that when the remnant fulfills its mission by preaching the everlasting gospel, it's going to produce some saints. Amen? The Bible says, here is the patience of the who? Saints. Here are they that do what? Keep, not break. Are you with me? The commandments of who? God, and have the faith of who? That's righteousness by faith. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. When the remnant understands who they are, then they'll understand their mission. Are you with me? Let me say it one more time. When the remnant understands who they are, when every seven-day Adventist understands who they are, their mission will be to win the lost. Are you with me? In the world and in those that are in spiritual Babylon that are God's children too. Are you with me? And let me say this to you right now. God has children in every denomination. Amen? So being the remnant does not make us better. It gives us more accountability and responsibility. So what happens is this right here. When we're studying about the gospel, the everlasting gospel, it says in verse 7, fear God. So it says to fear God and do what to him? Glory to him. So you may want to write down the word fear God in your notes. Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? Somebody read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Keep your finger in Revelation 14. We're going to show you how to systematically break down a doctrine, okay? Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Need somebody to hurry up and read it for me right now. I got a couple of minutes left.
Hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God and do what? Revelation says, fear God and give what to him? Glory to him. So we fear God by keeping his commandments, and by keeping his commandments, we give glory to him. Are you with me? So therefore, we must be obedient to the law of God. Are you with me? Then it says, give glory to God. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Hurry up. If you know it by heart, just quote it by heart. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Okay, hold on. Say it loud. That means that when we fear God, we keep his commandments, we give glory to him, therefore we give glory to him by our lifestyle giving glory to God, amen? By our eating and health reform, amen? Amen? All right, it says, for the hour of his judgment is come, not shall come, it what? Implying it's going on when? Right now, meaning that there's a judgment going on in heaven. Daniel 7 says the judgment was what? And the books were what? When Jesus comes or before he comes. If you read Daniel 7 carefully, this judgment takes place before he comes. Are you with me? So you're systematically putting together a theology together. Are you with me? You see that right there? We're really going kind of fast. But look at this right here. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, and worship him that made heaven and what? And the sea and the fountains of what? Hold on now. It says to worship him. How do we worship God? In spirit. And in what? Psalms 119 says, thy law is truth. Hello. So when we worship God in truth, that means we must keep his law. Are you with me? Through Christ. But it says, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Where is the last time in the Bible you read something like that? Exodus chapter what? Where it says, for in how many days? The Lord made heaven and what else? Earth. And the sea and the what? Fountains. Oh, I got 10 minutes? Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so what happens is this right here. The earth, the heaven, and sea. So what happens is you cross-reference those two sections together to whereby God is calling for mankind to keep the Sabbath. Are you with me? So therefore, a part of the everlasting gospel is to teach the whole world that it is time to keep all of God's commandments. Now, did you know that right now there are people that are not a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church calling for Sabbath rest? It's a show called The Monique Show, for those who know, see it on BET. I was flipping the channels one day. I don't watch the show. But she, now, for those who know who Monique is, she's a loudmouth. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And she's in the world cursing and all that. She said, we need to take a day off, just one day a week, where we don't do anything on Saturday. I'm like, where'd she get that from? But what happens is simply is this right here. We don't do it, the world gonna do it. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. That's how you systematically break a doctrine down. And what you do is this right here. When you go to the scriptures, now watch this right here. Amazing Facts does it very well. They have a thing called question scripture interpretation. Question number one, the second is what? Then thirdly is what? Question scripture and what else? Let me say one more time. Question scripture interpretation. It gives you the question. And then when it gives you the question, you go to the Bible. It's going to have the Bible text written out there. But the thing to do is this right here. Don't allow the study to spoon feed you. You go to the text yourself. So when you see, oh, 1 Peter chapter so-and-so, you go to the Bible text and you read it along with the study. And while you're reading it, if you want to, you can underline it or highlight it. Are you with me? Are you with me? And then you read the interpretation. And if it's sound, which I know it is, then what happens is it tells you what it means. Are you with me? When you keep doing question, scripture, interpretation all throughout these studies, what happens is before you know it, you'll be doing it without the study. Are you with me? And then what happens is this right here. You are systematically building your spiritual theological house to where not only do you understand the message of the Bible, you understand the theological content of the Bible. Are you with me? To where, as we talked about the shaking last night, she said the ceiling is a settling into the truth, both intellectually, through the study of the doctrines and the message of the Bible, and spiritually, to where you cannot be moved. So when you do go to court in the last days, when you sit on the judgment seat, and they say, you say, look here, why do you believe what you believe? And you will be able to allow the Holy Spirit to go into the recesses of your mind to where he can pull out that Bible study that you did years ago. Are you with me? And you will be, he'll give you not only the word, but the power to where you can say, it is written. The Bible says this, this, and that, and what it means is this, what it means is that. And people are going to be watching you on YouTube and the internet saying, wow. Oh, man, those people got the truth. So what happens is this right here. It's not about for you. It's for the world. You understand this right here? So I bring this to a close. I wish I had more time to talk about it because, you know, I don't think I did a real good job on this. But let me tell you this right here. If you would do what I just said, question, scripture, interpretation, get those amazing facts, Bible studies. It has 27 Bible studies. It would systematically take you all throughout your Bible. You know, the Bible I missed the most was my first Bible that I had. I bought several Bibles since then. It was a big letter Bible, and since that time, I have fallen in love with big letter Bibles. My first Bible, if I don't know where it's at, but it was marked up, yellow, green, blue, writing all through it. And you know what? It took me a matter of months to memorize the whole thing to where I started giving Bible studies. And as you share what you're learning with people, you may not have it all connected together and stuff like that, but the more you share it, the more it makes more sense to you. And yes, you're going to meet some people that may know it better than you. It should lead you back to that word, amen, and to study. And let me tell you, when you're studying with somebody and they tell you something that you don't have the answer, tell them, I don't have the answer right now, but give me a week, I'll give it to you. Are you with me? So when you're studying the truth with people, don't act like you know everything because you don't. I don't know everything. There are students at Oakwood in my classes that ask me questions. I have to go back and study. Are you with me? So what happens is this right here. As you study for yourself, it leads you to lead it to somebody else. And when you lead it to somebody else, it will help you to be more firmly rooted in what you believe. And when that becomes a reality, the effect of the Bible will be a reality. What's the effect of the Bible? Here it is. Your emotions will be what? To where you'll cry and say, Lord, out of all the people on this earth, you chose me to understand this truth. Amen? Number two, our wills will be what? Challenge. Because you're going to read some things in the doctrines that's going to challenge your way of living, your way of thinking. But if you surrender your will to Jesus, watch this right here, your hearts will be what? Convicted. You'll be convicted on truth. And number four, hallelujah. Your behavior patterns will what? See, when you understand the doctrines from a practical standpoint, just not an intellectual standpoint, it should lead you to change your behavior. Are you with me? You understand this right here? And when your behavior patterns change, then your attitudes will be what? Modified. You'll have the attitude and the mind of Christ. And when the attitude is modified, lastly, hallelujah, our characters will be transformed and perfected into the image of what? And then shall the scripture be fulfilled. And I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. The glory, the character of Christ. And as we go forth and present this truth under the anointing and the showers of the early and latter rain, there's going to be millions melting at the feet of Jesus because of you. Amen. See, it's not going to be the PhDs and those who have degrees that are going to finish the work. It's going to be people just like you and just like me. Let me go back. It's going to be people just like you and just like me. There are people right now in other denominations who are walking in all the light that they have. They're walking in all the light that they have. But it's interesting, and they're God's children too, those who are walking in all the light that they have. I'm seeing and hearing them saying some of the things that I've been studying in the Bible. I'm like, hold on now. They talking about the papacy being the beast and the Antichrist? I'm like, what? And one popular first day preacher who preaches against hip hop, he doesn't believe in the rapture no more. And it's like, it came from such and such. Sound like a Seventh-day Adventist. But guess what? His best friend is a Seventh-day Adventist minister. G. Craig Lewis. Watch this right here. So God's preparing people all over the world who are not a member of this church. They're getting some of the concepts and only waiting for you, like the Ethiopian eunuch in that chariot. And all God is saying, can you go to that person and say, do you understand what thou readest? And the man, they will tell you, can you help me? And from what you have studied, you will give them the truth. And then they may say to you, what doth hinder me to be baptized? True story, then I'm going to close. This is 2011. About 25 years ago, and I got to say this with you, 27 years ago, 1984, was a just about to turn 13. I just, you know, was in the world, a regular law center. In the world. I remember I sat down with a friend of mine. This is why this is very special to me. He was 10, I was 13. He looked at me and said, Isaac, you should be a minister, man. I said, a minister? I was thinking about being a baller, an NBA player, and all that stuff. I wasn't even thinking about God. I don't know to this day why that 10-year-old told me that, but that same year, a coal porter, an LE, a canvasser, knocked on my mother's door. She was shacking up in a bad relationship, abusive relationship. But that coal porter came to my mother, who was in sin, and sold her a Bible reading for the home, a big family Bible with the biblical interpretations in the back by the Adventist Church, and the 10 volumes of the Bible story. It hung on that thing for like 5 years. But the same year that the coal porter sold the book to my mama, I met Damien and Reginald Johnson, who were 2 7-day Adventist brothers. We played a game of football together. And they were the coolest brothers I ever met. Man, they were very nice. A year later, we went to high school together. And every Friday night, they had to go in the house. I'm like, why they go in the house on Friday night for, man? It's party night and stuff like that. And even though they went to the party, even though they went to the worship on Friday, we'd go to the party anyway. They were bad, man. They were sad minutes at that time, okay? But it was through their friendship. And 4 years later, I graduated from high school. And all of a sudden, I'm asking questions in my 12th grade year. I said, before I graduated, what happens to a person when they die? And I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 17. And I asked the Lord, show me what Satan's going to do to receive the whole entire world. And 7 months later, my friend Reggie started opening his mouth. He didn't give me a Bible study. He didn't open one scripture to me. But because he was my friend, he was my best friend, I believed everything he said. And he gave me some literature. And I read the literature. Couldn't understand the scriptures, but I read that. I understood what the interpretation said. And when I saw that the Pope chased the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, I said, oh, man, what's going on? And then I looked up and saw Bible readings for the home that was bought 4 or 5 years before. Pulled the book down and read my way into the truth. And November of 1989, I went to his house and told his Seventh-day Adventist mother, Sister Johnson, I'm going to be a Seventh-day Adventist because y'all got the truth. Imagine if somebody came to your house and told you, I'm gonna be a Seventh-day Adventist because y'all got the what? Like, oh, man, come on. And then the summer of 89, We spent hours just reading, and I read my way into the truth. Got baptized. Right after I got baptized, the lady said, "You're called to the ministry." I heard it 6 years before. Went to Heartland College. Then went to the seminary at Andrews. Got picked up by the Southwest Region Conference. Teaching at Oakwood, and now I'm here at Army Bible Camp. Because somebody who had the truth in them, even though he was not the best of Christian, he opened his mouth. And because he was my friend. What I'm trying to tell you is, you may, even if you come to Army and may not know everything that's to know, you're not as deep as some of the speakers you may hear, don't feel bad. God used a sinner who had the truth, that told me the truth. And if God can use him, can he use you? Before I pray, one tip, I'm going to close on this. Use your Facebook. How many of y'all have a Facebook page? Use your Facebook page for evangelism. Copy and paste Amazing Facts Bible studies. Even if you can't explain it, just put there and read this study. It is the bomb. Just look at it. Ooh, just turn my soul afire. And I guarantee somebody may read that and be like, "What? Let me read some more." God wants to use his brothers and sisters. So we're going to kneel right now. Let's kneel right now. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication. For a renewed interest in Bible study, and that we can systematically understand the doctrines. And please go to that Amazing Facts booth, amen, and get the material that will help you like it helped me. Father in heaven, we thank you for Army Bible Camp. We thank you for all the speakers. We pray for the next speaker, Pastor Myers. We pray that you'll give him a word from heaven. Father, thank you for my friends that brought me to the truth, Lord God. Thank you that one of them is now a pastor now, Lord God. But be with my friend Reggie, Lord. He's going through some issues right now. I want to pray that you'll save him, Lord God. Bring him out of where he's at. Thank you for using him. Thank you for coming to my house in the form of that coal porter. Thank you for the fact that my mother died in the faith, Lord God. And I want to pray, Lord, may I see my mother in the resurrection, Lord God, of the righteous. Father God, give us a renewed interest and a love for study of the word and make it sweet to the taste. Remove laziness from us, Lord God. Remove any inferiority to where where I might not be able to understand like the pastor does, but they will if they give it effort. So, Father, bless them, Lord, to this end we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.